Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, May 25th, Africa Day 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. President Robert Mugabe tells ZANU-PF activists taking part in a 1 million men march that he will stay in power as long as Zimbabweans have confidence in him.
I belong to my people. My people say stay here. I'm not a Briton. I don't like to be an American. I'm not a Yankee.
Critics say Mr. Mugabe's party wasted a lot of resources when it staged a million men march in Harare today.
Resources are very scarce and jobs are very scarce, and scarce resources are being used on a useless process.
And some political commentators urge Zimbabweans to always commemorate Africa Day, even if they are facing many challenges.
Zimbabweans are Africans, so they need to celebrate with others in the hope that the regime which is in power won't be there permanently.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Some Pan-Africanists and political commentators urge Zimbabweans to always commemorate Africa Day, even if they are facing many challenges. They argue that Africa Day, commemorated annually to mark the conception of the Organization of African Unity, which fought for the liberation of many African nations from colonial rule, is special for all African nations. This year's Africa Day theme is Building a Better Africa and a Better World. Independent political analyst Dr. Sabelo Gajeni-Ndlovu tells the Studio 7 Skips Dube, Zimbabweans have every reason to commemorate Africa Day.
Africa Day is linked to the liberation of the black people. So it's important in the sense that when we talk about Africa Day, we're talking about the liberation of the people. We're also talking about their attempt to actually unify under the Organization of African Unity. And this, in practice, means the implementation of the long-standing Pan-African agenda.
But looking at countries like Zimbabwe, there are some people who are saying this is a hopeless day for them because independence brought misery to some of them.
Yeah, the problem is when you have leaders who are problematic, you don't then throw away all progressive ideas because they are abused by particular leaders. So as far as I'm concerned, I think it is still important that we celebrate the liberation and the attempted unification of Africa. And we separate that from those leaders who are actually abusing it for regime security purposes.
Do you have any message for Zimbabweans about Africa Day?
Zimbabweans are Africans, so they need to celebrate with others in the hope that the regime which is in power won't be there permanently. If it is their major problem, then they cannot actually then sever themselves from the other African family, which actually is celebrating the Africa Day.
And that was Dr. Sabelo Gajeni-Ndlovu, an independent political analyst speaking with Studio 7 from Pretoria, South Africa. But Wilson Wagoneka, a Harare resident, says there's no reason for Zimbabweans to commemorate Africa Day, as independence has become a curse to most of them.
My name is Wilson Wagoneka. I reside in Glenview, Zimbabwe. My views as of Africa is that if we would now emancipate ourselves, liberate ourselves from this syndrome of being the ones who feel we are the haves and we control power, we can now go share the same power. We can as well speak to the little ones with pride. You know, when you are an elder, you want to speak of a hero who lives. You want to speak of something that will bring bread and butter on the table for everybody. Let us enjoy as Africans. We are Africans. There is no need to hate one another. There is no need to even speak of anything that is bad to one another. We want to live in a liberated Africa, Africa that shares its resources to everybody, Africa that sees itself as growing up as sharing to its own even leadership. This is my message for Africa.
But looking at the state of Zimbabwe at the moment, do you think Africa has been emancipated, looking at what maybe the African leaders like Kwame Nkrumah and others, the forefathers?
Indeed, it brings a sorry sight, given the scenario whereby our forefathers had a dream. They had also a vision of actually making Africa a status of its own, living in its bread and butter, the honey that we used to dream of, the honey that we actually send these old heroines and heroes who are lying in vast lands, you know, dead right now, buried or even so not buried in any state. They are lying with it. They had a hope that they are going to a land flowing with milk and honey. It was Africa. Africa that brought in food. Africa that brought in liberation in its own. And this is why I am saying we need to be an Africa that had a dream of victory, an Africa that had a vision.
That was Wilson Wagoneka, a Harare resident, speaking with Studio 7 from Glenview suburb in Harare. President Robert Mugabe today told his supporters that he would not relinquish power and accused those angling to succeed him of committing treason. According to some ZANU-PF activists, thousands and not a million people attended the Million Men March organized by the ZANU-PF Youth League. State-controlled media also reported that thousands of people were at the event in Harare. Police were not readily available to give an estimated number of participants. Reporter Thomas Jiripasi has more details from Harare.
At the final destination of the march, Mr. Mugabe, who turned 92 this year, told his supporters that those who want him to retire should court, go and hang.
I belong to my people. My people say stay here. I'm not a Briton. I don't like to be an American. I'm not a Yankee. I'm not a Briton. I told Blair to keep his England so I can keep my Zimbabwe. Because, you know, so I belong to Zimbabwe. So they say I must go. The outsiders, why do they want President Zimbabwe to stand down, to resign, retire?
The president also accused those pushing factional agendas in his party of committing treason. His wife, Grace Mugabe, who today described her husband as irreplaceable, is reportedly leading a faction called Generation 40 or G40 that wants to take over from the veteran leader once he leaves office, while Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa is reportedly leading another camp calling itself Team Lacoste. ZANU-PF Youth League Secretary Kudzai Chipanga accused some unnamed ministers of wasting the country's resources by holding unnecessary conferences in luxury hotels and buying expensive vehicles at the expense of service delivery. Chipanga also asked President Mugabe to ensure that youth had access to land to do farming and build houses, which was later promised by Mr. Mugabe.
Now what we are saying is that you are mature people now, no longer within the custody of the family. And in your own right, you deserve to be considered as deserving land owners.
On unemployment, the president told his supporters that youth should create their own jobs. Ahead of the 2013 national elections, Mr. Mugabe promised Zimbabweans that his administration would create more than 2 million new jobs. But today, the story was different.
Those are lines that can be pursued also for self-employment. And when you're thus self-employed, you develop in a small way, employ 2, 3, 4 people, and eventually you can establish a little business, a little company for yourself. We want to see that.
Some ZANU-PF supporters who were part of the march praised their leader. Makonde legislator Kindness Paraza told Studio 7 that today's demonstration was a clear message to the international community that President Mugabe was there to stay.
It means that they failed to dislodge him, and the regime change agenda has failed. And as you can see, people have come in their millions to support him, and we are so happy that we are here, and we are going to support him until Amen.
This was also echoed by Godfrey Chimwanda from Mashonaland East Province.
We are marching in solidarity with the President R.G. Mugabe, the revolutionary tried and tested liberator, the only beacon of hope in Africa, United States of Africa, our President Robert Gabriel Mugabe.
Some of the demonstrators allegedly assaulted suspected opposition supporters who were doing their own business in the central business district, while some buses and truck drivers that were ferrying people to the demonstration allegedly refused to pay road user fees at toll gates. ZANU-PF had targeted to bring 1 million people to the demonstration that was dubbed 1 million men march, but Chipanga said they faced the logistical problems resulting in many people failing to attend the event. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Independent political commentator Dumisani Nkomo tells Studio 7 Skips Dube the march was a waste of time and resources.
The resources are very scarce and jobs are very scarce, and scarce resources are being used on a useless process.
But the ruling party says this was a time to show support for the president. Were they doing it the right way?
There are more pressing issues such as liquidity crisis, such as the crisis of unemployment. They promised 2 million jobs. Up to now, those 2 million jobs are not there. The economy is in crisis. You've got a liquidity crunch. Civil servants are going unpaid. People are struggling to make a living. I mean, those are the issues that matter, the economy.
So, but indications are that maybe ZANU-PF is having a lot of support.
Some of the people were passed in, some of the people were paid small bits of money as well. So a lot of those people are actually passed as well. We are very aware of that.
And why this solidarity march to show support for the president?
It shows panic. Why would you have a massive demonstration to show support in the first place? It's an act of fear. It's an act of panic. It's an act which clearly shows that they've run out of ideas, and that they actually fear that people may actually uprise against them. So this is more like a preemptive action because of fear, because of the state of the economy, because of the rate of unemployment. So they think by doing their own demonstration, they preempt the real protest by the people, for the people.
But some will argue that, this is to show that the president is still in control of his party.
Why now? They had a conference at Congress last year where they reaffirmed him. So why did they need to have a demonstration to reaffirm him again? They've got their own processes of reaffirming the party leader. And those processes are the annual conferences and the four-year congresses. The processes of affirming leaders are not done on the street. They're done in conferences, in elective processes.
That was Dumisani Nkomo, an independent political commentator, speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. A very, very sad situation. That's how one human rights activist, Terry Mutswanga, is characterizing the human rights situation in Zimbabwe. The award-winning journalist and filmmaker is one of the 60 Zimbabwean youths coming to the United States in June under the Mandela Washington Fellowship. Mutswanga has previously been honored by ZimRights for his activism. His film, Damu Voices from a Tent, highlighted rights breaches on the Tokwe Mukosi displacement. Mutswanga tells reporter Ntungamili Nkomo he is humbled by the Mandela Fellowship opportunity.
This is the greatest opportunity to happen in my life. I firstly thank President Barack Obama on behalf of all of the continent of Africa. You know, it's not easy. So from 1,000 in Africa and then 60 from Zimbabwe. I thank President Barack Obama for launching this program. It's going to enlighten us and open us and bring more opportunities to the people of Africa.
How do you think you will benefit from this program?
I think from the interaction that I will make in the universities that I'm going to be investing in Virginia. First of all, it's one of the best universities in the United States, considering that it is how the first founding fathers or the first American president in the U.S. We talk of Thomas Jefferson, we talk of James Madison. It's a very historic institution. So I believe that from learning from those institutions, I could adore and admire. And then maybe impact and actually implement in Zimbabwe so that for the total beneficiation of my own country.
And why do you care so much about human rights?
I believe human rights, they are God-given rights. What I believe, every man is equal. I'm a Christian. I believe that everybody is created in the image of God. So human rights are basic rights, and they must be respected just as they are enshrined in the constitution of Zimbabwe, the new constitution of Zimbabwe. That is guaranteed by all the principles in government, not in government such, excluding ex-Premier Mugabe Tsvangirai and the current president, President Robert Mugabe. So human rights are basic rights.
How would you characterize the human rights situation in Zimbabwe currently?
What is happening in Zimbabwe is a very, very sad story. It's a very, very sad situation. Once we have got a new constitution, barely 3 years or 2 years after adoption of the new constitution, the government is not willing to adopt or to respect fundamental human rights enshrined in the new constitution.
That was Mandela Washington fellow Terry Mutswanga, a human rights defender and filmmaker. He was speaking on the line with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo from Harare. Coming up in our Diaspora Forum, we are focusing on the annual Zim Expo event to be held this weekend right here in the USA. Stay tuned. But first, we take a look at regional and international news. The State Department has found Hillary Clinton and other past secretaries of state at fault for failing to follow the department's guidelines to avoid cybersecurity risks, an internal audit found Wednesday. Indian authorities have assured justice for a Congolese student beaten to death in New Delhi last Friday. And Donald Trump rally in New Mexico yesterday evening was disrupted by angry demonstrators who broke through the barricades. Dozens of police officers, many on horseback, repeatedly warned protesters to stay away from the sidewalk in front of the venue where supporters of the presumptive Republican presidential nominee were lined up to enter the rally. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. All roads lead to Los Angeles in California, USA this weekend for the annual Zim Expo, where Zimbabweans meet and mingle amid a host of activities, including the Business Expo, Miss Zimbabwe USA pageant, volleyball and beach party, among other activities. Business Expo is sponsored by the Zim Expo Business Consortium, which is an apolitical and nonpartisan equity firm focusing on business development, social empowerment, event management, and equity investments. One of the Zim Expo directors responsible for financial management, Simbarashe Usore, tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri that the purpose of Zim Expo is to foster relationships among Zimbabweans living in the diaspora. He says it also promotes cooperation by sharing best practices, as well as providing opportunities for community members to work together on common agendas, and in the process, promoting innovation and improving business acumen.
The Zim Expo has been going on every year. As you rightly put it, it's the 15th year. The first time it was started, the whole idea was to have a platform where Zimbabwean businesses can network. But over the years, it has evolved from being a business network only to a network for individuals to a time where Zimbabweans across USA can get to meet, a time where Zimbabweans can network one-on-one at the Zim Expo. And we've also used it as a platform, like more recently we've used it as a platform to also try to bring in, for example, musical artists from Zimbabwe to come and entertain Zimbabweans who are based here.
This year, who are you bringing from Zimbabwe, and do you have any other local artists who are going to perform at the expo?
Well, this year we're bringing in Cynthia Mare. She's based in Zimbabwe, used to be in UK, but relocated to Zimbabwe, has done well for herself in Zimbabwe. She won an award, the recent music awards that Zimbabwe had, and she was one of the winners. So this year we're bringing in Cynthia Mare to entertain us at the Zim Expo. Do we have any locals at present? No, we don't have any lined up. There is one or two that we're still talking to who had expressed interest in wanting to be curtain raisers for Cynthia, but as it is, our main artist to look forward to, Cynthia Mare.
You have 15 years of experience. Can we say you are experienced enough not to face any problems in organizing this large event?
There's no such thing. There is no such thing as you're experienced enough to where you won't face problems. Every year will always come with its own challenges. Each year has its own different challenge. So the one thing that has kept us going is the fact that we are a group that's firstly committed to the cause of, you know, having this event every year for the benefit of the Zimbabwean community. But then secondly, as a united group, we believe that there is no such thing as impossible to overcome. So that's what keeps us going, and that's what allows us to overcome any challenge. So challenges will always be there. Even for the expo that we're going to plan for next year, it will come up with its own challenges.
How is the response from Zimbabweans based here?
So far, the response has been very, very encouraging. There are a lot of Zimbabweans who are looking forward to being in LA, because this time we're in the West Coast. We haven't been in the West Coast for 10 years now, because we've mostly been either in the East Coast or the mid USA regions, because, you know, that's where a lot of the Zimbabweans are. But we also have Zimbabweans in the West Coast. So at least for the West Coast, for the Zimbabweans based in the West Coast, the response has been very, very great.
Some people associate Zim Expo USA with political parties. May you clarify your position here?
Here's something we want to make unequivocally clear, is that we have never been, we will never be, and have never been associated with any political party. And that is not going to happen anytime soon. The minute that happens, I'll be one of those who will leave, and I'm pretty sure the whole organization will disintegrate. What we do is, if you ask us who are we aligned to, we are aligned to Zimbabwe. So for us, you're Zimbabwean first before you are aligned to any political party. So, for example, if a political party was to come today to say we want to display something or we want to have some time at your expo, we will not say no to them, because as far as we're concerned, you're Zimbabweans first, you know, and we do recognize that there is a lot of political parties in Zimbabwe.
What are you promising Zimbabweans or those who are going to attend Zim Expo?
It's going to be a great time. We have changed the program a little bit, you know, because we're in the West Coast. You can look forward to a fashion show. We've never had a fashion show where Zimbabweans come to showcase their fashion skills or show off their fashion skills. So we have those on Friday. We have our traditional beauty pageant on Saturday. We have a new set of ladies, as always, as every year. And Sunday, we're doing something different again. We have a beach party where there'll be beach volleyball.
That was Simba Usore, one of the Zim Expo organizers responsible for financial management, on the line from Atlanta, Georgia, here in the USA with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. And now it's time to hand you over to Chiwaniso Jani in the Youth Show, Time to Engage.
Hello Zimbabwe, this is Chiona Sojani, your host on Time to Engage, where the voices of Zimbabwe's youth are heard. Today we have two incredible people from YouCount. Hello guys, how are you?
Hey Chioniso, I'm Sharon Mandemwa, working with youth in Zimbabwe on agriculture and how we can empower them.
Hey Chioniso, how are you doing? Yes, and I'm also Stuart Moyo, also with YouCount.
Tell us about the work that you are doing in Zimbabwe.
Okay, about our work, this is what we do. We have four pillars. capacity building, market access and value addition, ICTs in agriculture, and also advocacy and lobbying. So we are there to equip young farmers to get themselves empowered through agriculture, creating jobs, teaching them how they can be more efficient, getting them to get the markets, and advocating, just making sure they're there when the policies are being formed.
Can you tell us about the work you've been doing outside Zimbabwe?
We're working in partnership with a lot of organizations, the likes of NEPAD, African Union, but most importantly, we run and chair an organization or a consortium of organizations all across Africa called Young Green Africa, where the youth have come together to actually mobilize for inclusion, just to be heard as youth and to get people realizing what they're actually doing in their different particular countries.
And how has been the response with your work in Zimbabwe?
It's an uphill battle. Most youth don't think agriculture is sexy enough, and as a result, you'll find that we don't produce as much as we should be. Don't know where agriculture will be in the next 10 years, since everybody is going into ICTs, everybody is going to become a lawyer, and no one is coming back to say, okay, we are farming on a large scale to export. There's a very small number of youth that are looking at agriculture as a source of income.
And to add to that, this actually then creates an opportunity, because we're saying in the next 10, 20 years, we're going to have more people needing more food, and the youth need a place where they can actually get employment and how they can also be responsible people in their communities.
Is it not because of the El Nino?
Yes, the climate is definitely a challenge within the agriculture sphere, but you're also part of a consortium of youth organizations that are also trying, together with the Ministry of Environment, to work towards trying to build a better climate, to work and try to reduce the carbon footprint of the youth initiatives we can come out with.
And I would also want to say that El Nino is only part of our challenge, because this issue around agriculture and the youth is actually a global challenge, where we're saying our farmers are generally aging. So it's a matter of making agriculture relevant and making it actually pay them enough to get them excited up for the youth. So that is where we come in. We come in to make sure it's relevant.
Are you guys having any training programs?
Yes, we do have training programs, and it depends which type you want. You can actually book for one, or we go out into communities. We actually equip people to be more effective and to just have the skills. We call it agropreneurship, where we're saying be an entrepreneur, even in agriculture. Start something. Get yourself empowered.
Thank you guys for being with us.
All right. Thank you, Joanita.
That was Youth Count, and I am Chionisa Johnny on Time to Engage.
Thanks very much, Shoni. So the United Nations says nearly 3 million people in drought-stricken Zimbabwe are going hungry. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva. The world body expects that number to exceed 4 million as the full impact of the El Nino weather phenomenon kicks in.
UN Resident Coordinator for Zimbabwe, Bisho Parajuli, says the impact of little rain and low crop yields following 2 years of drought is painfully visible in Matabele land and other dry lands.
I recently visited that area with a number of donors and ambassadors. We could really see the desperation and the severity of the situation.
A few weeks ago, the United Nations appealed for $360 million to provide life-saving assistance for more than 3 million people. The priority needs are for food, water, health, nutrition, sanitation, and protection. Parajuli says $70 million has been received, leaving a gap of $290 million. He says it is critical for donors to respond generously and immediately to this appeal.
Given Zimbabwe, a landlocked country, and also the whole Southern Africa region is affected by El Nino, and lack of surplus of maize, it's very critical to plan in advance in terms of importation and supply chain delivery. So early response will really help save lives and suffering among population.
Parajuli says he is particularly worried about the so-called lean season between September and March. This is the period between harvests when farmers' food stocks are at their lowest. He says people will be severely affected by the lack of food, and many will not be able to count on their cattle as a lifeline, as tens of thousands have died from lack of water and grazing land. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Thanks, Lisa. And remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk when our host will be talking with listeners about the ZANU-PF Youth League's Million Men March held in Harare today. And for a quick recap today, President Robert Mugabe tells ZANU-PF activists taking part in a Million Men March that he will stay in power as long as Zimbabweans have confidence in him. And that's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande, handing you over to Ntungameli Nkomo for the Ndebele Show. Good night, Zimbabwe.